All right, let's head over to the studio in the cloud where we've got Stu Turley on the Energy Beat News, or the Energy News Beat. Sorry about that. How you doing today, sir? You're looking good.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll tell you what, it is a fantastic day out there, and thank you for having me on. This is fun.
I appreciate it, and you know, you made me look at, I need to update my camera because your camera looks fantastic. You got a great tan looking, life is good. Now, where are you located? I have this in my mind that you are in Texas. Where are you located?
I spend half my time in Texas, maybe 60% of my time in Texas and the other part at my lake house. I prefer to be on a backhoe, but I actually enjoy being on a podcast talking to great people like yourself. And this is a real treat being on your podcast.
Well, I appreciate that very much, but the treat is, the pleasure is all mine because you've made quite a showing in the podcast world, just from your Energy Realities hosting and co-hosting and your Energy News that you do, what is it, analysis on and just opinions on and all these different things. It's fantastic. And here's the thing that I really enjoy about what you do. Not only is it on a regular basis, because frequency matters.
Yes.
But at the same time, you don't veer much with your point of view and your opinion. You very much stand your ground. You'll go against the grain if you need to, but not too much, you know, not enough to trigger anybody too much, even though we live in the world of landmines and triggers.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so how can people, by the way, get your podcast for the two people out there that don't listen?
Oh, you can find me on theenergynewsbeat.substack.com, or you can find us on YouTube, Apple, or Spotify, and just search for Energy Newsbeat, or you can go to the website energynewsbeat.co or energynewsbeat.com. And I'll tell you what, we are so, it is just a shock that we ended up in 2026 with over 2.5 million listens on Apple and Spotify, 1 million downloads we hit. We are about 2 million people a month on the news sites or YouTube or anything else. And it is just unbelievable how fun the podcast is. And yesterday, we just released California Running on Empty, a national security issue of biblical proportions. This ain't your cats and dogs living with each other. It's a full-blown apocalypse about to happen. I had Professor Mache on with David Blackman, who is the co-podcast of the Energy Impacts, and he is also a Forbes author, Daily Caller author. He is a cool cat, but Professor Mache and Mike Ariza is actually a downstream oil expert, and Professor Mache is a USC professor. They wrote 7 executive orders to save California from Gavin Newsom. Let me put it to you very simple for your great podcast listeners. California is facing in the next few weeks a catastrophe of biblical proportions. Here's what's happening. They have ruined their downstream gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Ruined it. They are now down to 7 refineries from 38. That 6 of those 7 are slated to close because of the cap and invest programs, the overreach by the Gavin Newsom government. They now import between 40 and 60% of their gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Guess what's happened? They are now at a point that if they lose even one more refinery, you're going to see $10 and $15 gasoline. You lose the other 6, it's going even higher than that because they are maxed out on their import capacity at the ports and the tankers. There is no more room. Asia has just cut off all exports to everyone. Guess who gets their stuff? I've even tanked Russian tankers that went to India, then got refined, and then those tankers went to California. Gavin Newsom is not being green. He is destroying the economy. When you look out there and see all those tankers lined up like guppies out there, and they wait a week, they wait a 2 weeks, they wait 10 days. They're $100,000 a day going to $200,000 a day. The consumer pays that at the pump. There's a difference right now between $100 oil and delivery price. Same thing's happening for diesel, gasoline, and jet fuel. So these executive orders are going to try to keep those refineries open, but it is so bad that we've got to get Alaska back online and we've got to build new refineries, or our great United States, it is such a big problem. This could bring the United States down.
Interviewed William Prentice of Meridian Energy. He's got three microgrids coming up that they're looking at building, one in the Bakken,
Nice.
one in Permian, I want to say right outside of Kermit, Texas, and then the other one in Cushing, Oklahoma, is what they have slated. And they're going to be doing jet fuel and diesel. And when I take a look at what's happened to jet fuel and diesel, for that matter, since the first of the year, jet fuel's doubled. And when they talk about, oh, it's because of the war, this and that, I don't care what the reasons are. When I take a look at the way the world works, I saw this back when COVID happened, is that truckers, this happened to truckers so much so that there was a strike that barely got any coverage for what they were striking about. But when you talk about truckers who sign annual contracts, when you're talking about people who are supply chain professionals and they work with these big corporations and oil and gas companies, these people need a year out contracts and financing and projections. When you all of a sudden double their transportation cost in 2, 3 months, in this case, 4 months. Let's just take from January 1st of the year. Back in 2022, it was truckers. Now it's truckers and airlines. Now you're talking about baggage fees going up. You're talking about price of goods going up. You're talking about everything that basically involves transportation is going to be going up, which at the end of the day is inflation. We might only be at the 40-yard line with inflation. I mean, we might have another 60 yards to go until we see the finish line on the way these things are going, because if we're just in April and these prices have doubled, you're the finance expert. Talk me off the cliff here.
I can't. And here's the good news. Okay. The good news is that in the Strait of Hormuz, I see that there is going to be a structural change in the world that is ongoing right now. That structural change is Venezuela. Let's start with Venezuela. I did not have on my bingo card us going in and stealing Maduro. Nobody on our side. We got the great helicopter pilot that got shot. Holy smokes, that man is a hero. We get Maduro. We drop in new pricing mechanisms for Venezuela. Those new mechanisms are because of our great Secretary Bessent. Those pricing controls go through the Bank of Qatar. They are then given back to the United States, and then with that, they go back to Venezuela. Guess what happens? When you take a look at that pricing control mechanism, all of a sudden, China does not have access to oil at $20 a barrel that they were getting before. They were paying only $20 a barrel. Then they would own, turn around and they would only repay back Venezuela a certain percentage, and they would charge retail for their equipment. They were robbing Venezuela blind. Now, let's move to the Strait of Hormuz. So you got that mechanism, and Venezuela's doing great. Our secretary, great Secretary of Energy Burgum and Interior, Burgum Interior, and then Secretary Wright are working minerals. Chevron's doing a deal. They're increasing oil production. You have Eni, you have Shell starting to go into Venezuela. That's recovering. Let's go to the Strait of Hormuz. We only get 2% of our oil imports from the Strait of Hormuz. When President Trump, I love President Trump, but he doesn't get it right all the time. He goes, "Oh, we got all the oil we need." No. Our refineries in the Gulf Coast are set up for heavy crude. We've got sweet crude. We've got the new Brownsville refinery coming in that's going to be taking and only producing refined from crude from our sweet Texas crude, which is great. That 2% that we get from the Strait of Hormuz goes to, wait for it, California. And it goes to California through Asia, India, and all the other areas because it's refined products that get imported into California or imported as in crude oil. So California is the only weak spot in the Strait of Hormuz. But 2% is actually 40% of California's problem now. Add 40% to your energy costs in California, and you just took out a gigantic chunk of GDP in the United States. This is a big problem.
When I think about California, and I've said this for a while, that I'm in Minnesota right now. The people we call it the People's Republic of Minnesota,
And the Larry,
and
go by the Laring Center. I want a t-shirt. I got to get me a
oh
t-shirt of the Laring
boy, you're
Center.
right down there with the daycares. You bet, Minnesota Daycare Association. Well, I'm 45 miles from Fargo, where my son's a firefighter now.
Nice.
And and then 45 miles from basically the triangle where Minnesota, South Dakota, and North Dakota meet. It's our instead of four corners, it's our three corners. And it's lakes country type of a thing. So I've got a piece of property about 500 yards from the Pelican River and 45 miles from my son. So now I'm looking at doing the next chapter in my life, which is going to be a snowbird type chapter. So I can go get my land in the south of the Mason-Dixon line, if you will, and probably along Route 66, with the project I'm doing this summer and
Nice.
everything along those lines. And I've said for a long time on the crude life that what I've noticed, because again, I'm pretty upfront that I didn't grow up in oil and gas. I grew up in agriculture, and we were 7 hours from the nearest oil rig in North Dakota, and they didn't really even activate those till the mid-2000s. And so oil is, I'm first generation oil, let's put it that way.
Nice.
But I'm, longtime media veteran and a number of different things along those lines. So I can see trends. And, I was a paper boy at age 10. So I was a 1099 employee, age 10, my lemonade stand. I had to go and collect money and do balancing books and that go get subscribers and all kinds of things. But the trend I saw in the oil and gas industry when I first started 15 years ago was that the policies seemed to come out of the coasts. I lived in California when they were going through the hybrid engines. They worked. They cleaned up the smog so you didn't see, so you could actually see the mountains next to the Santa Monica Freeway and that sort of thing. But then they kept going. Everybody was fine with hybrids. Everybody's fine. They worked, you bet, no problem.
Hybrids work.
Yeah.
Let's get 60 miles per gallon and not and use a fourth of the batteries and the
Right.
critical minerals. I'm
But
all
more
in.
importantly, everybody was fine except for a small group that said, no, we want it our way. And then I noticed California or New York was doing the same thing, but they were doing it on the residential side. So California was controlling your movement with your vehicles, and here New York is controlling your residential.
Right.
And being in the Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Oh boy, that's different. You go to Fargo and they want to be like Minneapolis, and then you go 30 miles west of Fargo and it's, forget it. You're in red Trump country, USA, baby. And so it's a little bit different. It's the purple world out here. Where I'm going with this whole thing is that it almost seems, politically speaking, they were trying things on the coast. Because that's where Hollywood and the cool, and they could make trends happen and all these other things that they could really use to advance political narratives. And then they insert it into the Midwest, whether it be Colorado Blueprint or the Midwest Mafia. It almost came in through Minnesota and Colorado to where now these
Right.
areas on the coast are starting to infect in other areas. And I can say that firsthand living in Minnesota, especially over the past couple of years, where we are seeing more coastal policies coming into outside of Minneapolis. We're rural, man. I mean, we are,
Oh, it's infected the entire country, and it's infected Texas and Oklahoma as well, too, even though Texas. There are things that have come out as a Texas resident with an Oklahoma accent. I get really irritated when people come to Texas from California and bring their same voting record with them.
With the tax break, with the tax
Yeah.
break. Yeah. No, don't forget that. They want all the tax breaks, but they want someone to pay for all their voting record. Yep.
Yeah, and now they start voting and following it. And I can't believe that Texas is putting up people like Jazzy from Texas. I mean, you take a look at some of the hypocrites that are in there, and like Cornyn needs to go away. Rhinos need to step down. If you're not America first, I don't consider myself a Republican anymore. I consider myself America first. If you've got to look at the policies, and now as individuals, we need to look at America first. I loved working with Democrats and Republicans years and years ago in Oklahoma. I would work with Representative Dutchendorf. Representative Dutchendorf was a Democrat. And he would take, and he goes, okay, here's what we got to do for schools. This is what we got to do for servers. You could not tell that that man was a Democrat. Oh, by the way, he happened to be John Denver's uncle. John Denver's father was my dad's wingman on B-58s on alert. I used to sit around with John Denver and he'd play his guitar. We'd want to go play football. All he wanted to do was play his guitar. Well, he made millions, and look at me, I'm a podcast host. So, but you sit back and look at, you could not tell back to Democrats. Back then, Democrats, you could not tell a Democrat from a Republican because they were Oklahoma first. They're US first. Now it is rhinos and Democrats. There's only a handful of folks that are true America first, folks. I don't want to consider myself mega. I hate that term. I make America great. Yeah, I think it's great. But America first, let's look at the policies. Let's look, yes, I'll vote Republican. Yes, I'll do this. But I'm looking at each an individual on the thing, and I go through and do my homework on each and individual one. We've got to step up and take our country back. As you tour Route 66, take a look at our great history on Route 66. And I love your Substack, by the way. I'm just subscribed. Route 66, go see that one. Route 66 on Route 66, American Archive, substack.com. What a great, I'm fired up to go see, I'll read all your articles there. But
And we
anyway.
also have Route 66 turns100.com that redirects you because you know this when you have a dot Substack and you the word Americana archive when you got two vowels next to each other, it's just so much easier to come up with something easier, like Route 66 turns100.com, and then that way we can redirect where we need to go. I needed something easy to say, that sort of thing along. So I wanted to also talk about The Route 66 thing, of course, you got me going on that. You got me thinking a little bit on that. But the political side of things, I believe that, you know, there are two different Americas now, and we should probably go back to the Democrat John Edwards. You remember John Edwards? He dropped out after he was caught cheating on his wife, who was fighting cancer, right?
Yep.
Okay. And because people were morally outraged, he then stepped down. That today wouldn't matter. Okay. And we know that because politicians have won and they've done worse. So part one of why I brought up John Edwards was to point out that our morals have changed as a society of what is acceptable in a leader and what is not acceptable in a leader. The other reason I bring up John Edwards is because he used to say that we live in two Americas. There's the people that are entitled and then the rest of us. Right. And he was right on that. He was absolutely right on that. And that was the rise of the rhinos. That was the rise of the rhinos.
The rise of the, how cool, what a great phraseology.
It gets better. It gets better. In fact, you can use all this marketing, man, because this is good stuff. So when the rise of the rhinos happened, you had the dash of the dinos. So it's rhinos and dinos that have really ruined politics because they're Democrats in name only and they're Republicans in name only. They're rhinos and dinos, and they're the same party. They're the same party. They're working.
Yes.
People say it's the, you know, the beast of two heads or whatever you want to call it. They're rhinos and dinos. They've taken over both parties. A lot of Republicans are former Democrats, but they realize that, hey, the business side of things works better. We'll just go that, and then we'll just start a bunch of nonprofits, and that'll take care of our side of things. So if they didn't grow government, maybe they grew the nonprofit sector, which works for the government exclusively. So there's other ways that they can grow government.
Right.
The rhinos and dinos, though, I really do think are a big issue. And so with all this new technology and the way that they're trying to just shock and awe so many things. I went through this in 2008 with the Too Big to Fail. After Too Big to Fail, you'll notice about 90 to 95% of the newspapers went bankrupt over the next 4 years. Think about that.
Wow.
Newspapers used to have a monopoly in cities. Okay. Yep. They had a monopoly. Like there wasn't any other newspapers. Maybe the Detroit Free Press and the Rocky Mountain News, but they got to the point to where they actually shared advertising staff so that they could keep each other in business. So that is a paradigm shift when you have 90% of your monopolies declaring bankruptcy. That's what worries me about the oil and gas industry right now. As they're going through their paradigm shift and their great crew shift from the old generation retiring, ushering in this new generation that wants everything all technical and paid for by someone else. I do see that we live in a different time now where the rhinos and dinos are really becoming the new party that people are following. I'm not sure if there's a question in there, Stu, because I just kept rambling and rambling and rambling,
no,
but apparently I had a lot
I'll tell
to
you,
say there.
John F. Kennedy, when he was the day he was assassinated, he was our last great Democrat president. And my brother and I, my brother met him on the flight line in Little Rock on the day he died. And I was young, I just barely old enough to, my mom was holding me and my brother was older and he got to meet President Kennedy on the day he died. We don't need that kind of problem. We need JFK back. We need that kind of leader. I did not have on my bingo card that we would have John Fetterman having a stroke and become one of the smartest men in the Senate. Do you remember his, some of his thing goes, fracking, I vote no. Did I frack? No, fracking. Yes, fracking. Wow. We went from that to the most sane man in our Congress. Go figure that one out. We need more men like John Fetterman that have a stroke and come back normal. We need to be normalcy of America first. Go figure. I've even tried to get him on my podcast. I don't care. Again, this is about America first rather than our parties. Our parties are broken. The Republican Party is broken. How come we can't get the Save America Act passed? This to me is one question that is absolutely despicable that we have John Thune, the leader of the U.S. Senate, cannot get this one simple bill done. How much have we codified of the United States President Trump's executive orders? Nothing. We're leaving President Trump out to dry with our uniparty. Sorry, I didn't mean to rant.
No, that's okay. It's one of those days, it's one of those times, and here's what I've really learned from my experience with the oil and gas industry. When I first did it, I actually did my radio show and podcast, 'cause keep in mind, when I did this, I was getting published in magazines and newspapers, and I'm still on the radio now. And so I just podcasted my interviews that I would do, right? Because
Right.
I need to transcript and get interviews and this and that. So, but my podcasting has always been completely different than your podcasting or other podcasting. And I mean, that's this summer I'm going to actually do my first podcast ever, to be honest.
Nice.
Yeah, because the crude life has just been kind of a way of living. So anyway, long story longer here. With the crude life, we had to kind of figure things out because when we went out to the Bakken, they didn't even have Wi-Fi internet. Like
No,
they didn't
yeah.
even have that. And so we had like a Facebook page, but no way to post it. So we had to joke that I did the radio show from my food truck. And and so we said that's our social media. So we'd have the
Right.
governor on, and then we'd have a trucker on, and then we'd have some CEO from an oil company on, and then we'd have, the
Wow.
local nonprofit doing the barbecue this weekend. Oh, it was a great show. It was a great show. And then I'd, end the show with announcing what today's food special was and go come buy some food. And so it was great.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what the name of the food truck was? It was called the Rolling Stove.
Nice.
Because we would play.
I am not worthy to hang with you. I am
And so it was
absolutely
great, man.
not worthy. This is too cool.
So I was a method I'm a method journalist, right? And the easiest way to explain what a method journalist is, before you write an article on skydiving, you go skydive. So before I go do a media company on oil and gas, I go out and live there for 3 to 6 months and figure out a way I embed myself out in the culture. And when I grew up, the oil and gas industry wasn't political, not at all. People would argue about gas prices and complain about gas prices. That was it. That was it. People did not get up and leave the room because somebody was feeding their family with an oil and gas job, okay? So I experienced the rise of this polarizing politics in the oil and gas industry. Well, then I started noticing how that affected all the other areas. I started noticing how that affected the media. I started noticing how that affected science. I started noticing how that is affecting schools. I started noticing how that was affecting. I got to the point, Stu, this is no kidding. Politics has ruined science. Politics has ruined energy. Politics has ruined agriculture. Politics has ruined so many things. It's actually ruined politics. You can no longer have a political conversation with anyone anymore without possibly ending in bloodshed. Think
Right.
about that statement. Politics has gotten so bad, it's actually ruined politics. That's horrible, isn't it?
What a line. That ought to be the title of the podcast.
Isn't that true? It is a great
It is.
line, isn't it? politics has gotten so bad it's actually ruined politics. You can no longer have a kitchen table conversation with anyone anymore.
In fact, that's even happened in my family. With the TDS, Trump derangement syndrome, it was so bad, I left. I mean, we were at a family gathering, and I will not. If you like President Trump, great. If you don't like President Trump, great. I don't care. It's about America first.
I was a single parent as a small business owner fighting cancer, okay, by myself, figuring out how the free market is working when the media companies are going under. I'm figuring out a way to get MyPillow as a sponsor because our audience is so big, okay? Figuring out a way to turn the podcasting business into something I can raise my family on. And because it happens to be oil and gas, and keep in mind, we actually said we're a non-political oil and gas brand because everybody else was covering the politics. We're a small business, so we said, let's go where no one else is. So we started interviewing the cafe owners. We started interviewing the supply chain people. We started interviewing the local. We basically, a lot of what I talked after the Landman co-creator, Christian Wallace, and I had a nice conversation.
Nice.
He was doing in Texas what I was doing up in the Bakken. We were doing the lifestyle stuff, but nobody would promote it because everybody was so into the politics. You see what I mean?
Right.
But our audiences kept growing and growing and growing. And to me, that's what I really think is sad where we're at, is that a husband and wife can no longer even have a conversation anymore because politics and gender identity politics and the categories and labeling have gotten us to a point, Stu, that I don't know if there's any turning back or not. Is it a hard reset? Where are we at? How can we fix our complaining, Stu?
I don't know, but I stay away from political discussions on my podcast with the exception of talking about America first and energy policies. Now, I'll say, hey, the Democrats are 38% higher in energy costs, and here's why. It's because of their energy policies. I don't talk about, now Gavin Newsom is open season. He's brought it on himself. He is a joke waiting to happen. And, you know, my favorite one so far on Gavin Newsom is we could end the oil crisis by him taking a bath in the bay and then us just absorbing all of his hair gel. So people call him hair gel and everything else. His policies have absolutely eviscerated, and he has the single potential of taking down the United States. It is that bad of a disaster that's looming. So he's open season.
And that's good, because I always tell people, you know, with the crude life, we focus on, you know, the vanilla first, because you can't have rocky road unless you have vanilla. It's true, because and you do a good job of this, because your presentation, and by vanilla I mean, you know, it's you're trying to be as neutral as possible. It doesn't, and because we did the same thing, we would talk policy, but we wouldn't throw gasoline on the fire. We would not we wouldn't fan
facts.
The flames.
However, facts and sources,
we would go extreme from time to time when deserved, because because if you're just constantly rocky road all the time, then you're just an insane person. honestly, if you take Stephen A. Smith off of ESPN, he's just a blathering idiot at the bar. You put him next to, you know, Charlie Steiner and some of the very neutral type person, that, you see what I mean? It's a symbiotic relationship type of a thing. And so how do we get them back? How do we get California back to where, hey, you know what? You had 38 refineries. Now you're down to single digits.
Here's my take on how do we get them back. It's going to start with the Save America Act. If we don't get elections fixed in the United States is gone. Simple. Period.
What do you mean by that, by the way? You just mean that it might be still called the United States, but everything that we ever
it'd be
you mean the name will change and everything?
We will fail as a
Yeah.
A republic, we will fail. It's just this plain and simple. We are now at a critical turning point in the United States.
I appreciate you using the word republic too, correcting yourself from democracy and shifting to republic.
We
Very
are
few
a
people
constitutional republic,
understand
people
that.
need to understand the difference between a constitutional republic and the state powers. The state powers are very important, and it pains me to recommend to President Trump that we need to invoke the War Powers Act and actually seize those refineries.
That'd be interesting.
That makes me airsick to even recommend it. I don't think that we should, but
That's an
how do
interesting
you?
strategy. You talk about the state coming in and taking over some refineries because of
No, I'm
national
talking the feds
security.
coming in
Yeah,
and
that's the state. Sorry, the feds. Yeah.
the feds coming in and actually leasing for 7 years. This is Professor Mache's recommendation, and that is leasing some of those for 7 years. Now, here's the rub. If it comes in under the Defense Protection Act, it will only supply the diesel and gasoline and jet fuel to the military, the 40 military bases. So you have Sable Offshore that is now bringing 30,000 barrels per day online again. You have the refineries, the six of the seven have stated that they are going to close. The seventh will close. There's just nothing else that it's going to do. What's going to happen to food delivery in Arizona, New Mexico, Washington, Oregon? Food delivery will stop. Food production will stop at $15 gasoline. It will stop. So when you sit back and take a look at where we are right now, if we don't get the Save America passed, California is going to again have the same thing. I interviewed Steve Hilton, who I think is the right man for the right job for California governor. He has a plan, he has a team. Steve Hilton can be the first starting point to save California. The problem with California is it's got a deep state that's deeper than the deep state in the United States. It is pathetic how the deep state is. So you've got a governor that will come in and then all of a sudden start trying to redo everything. He's going to need federal intervention until he can clean out the deep state. It is that bad.
Isn't it
Now,
remarkable how the one state in the United States that literally has as many different geographical cultures as you can imagine is trying to do a one size fits all? I mean, like.
What's even worse is you have 17 other states that have got legislation in theirs that if California passes a law, they don't have to pass it to the voters. They can accept that as a law. The other one is Abigail Spurnberger, whatever her name is, the governor of, I'm having a senior moment, the governor of, I believe, West Virginia, just signed in. I have to go check. But there are there they are she is signing in a bill that will bypass the voter for president for the college, and
Interesting.
all of the delegates to the college, the voting college for president of the United States. You can vote in West Virginia after this bill has been passed. They're going to turn in all of their delegates to the Electoral College and turn it into the popular vote, meaning that your vote in that state no longer matters because they're going to take their delegates and give it to the Electoral College when they go in to officially turn in their votes. All of a sudden, your vote does not matter. If we don't fix voter rights and we don't get involved locally, we will lose this great nation.
What was those 17 other states that you said that if California passes something, in my mind, I heard they rubber stamp it into law. What do you mean by
Exactly.
that?
They have the opportunity to do that. It is now part of their thing. So that's how some of the California rules and regulatory issue starts in California and it bleeds to those others. There is a real fact that is that happens with those other 17 states. The average Democrat state is 38% higher electricity costs. It's not because of data centers. Back east, it is because of data centers. There is government data centers that are rolling out, and they charge the data center to get the extra lines and things in there. Those go to the consumers. So let's take Texas, for example. It is, I think, about half the cost of California. Texas has wind, solar, storage, nuclear, coal. They've got it all. They got everything. They could be half of their cost right now if Texas would get rid of the wind and solar. They spent over $3.8 billion getting wind from the west part of Texas back east. Here's the problem. When wind and solar, they use what's called the levelized cost of energy, and even by the DOE, the levelized cost of energy needs a redefinition in order to save consumers from being wiped out by their electric bills. And until that happens, we have the greatest Secretary of Energy we've ever had. Secretary Chris Wright is a rock star. And even in the DOE's last report, I just wrote an article on it, and the levelized cost of energy needs to be redefined. Wind and solar, when their projects come onto the grid, they are not charged for grid resiliency. So they need to be charged for full lifetime and grid resiliency, meaning add storage to their project, add that to their cost, and then put that on the grid. Because then you have a natural gas, you have a coal, and you have nuclear. They're charged differently than wind and solar. If you want to levelize cost of electricity, pile these three into a group, charge them for storage. They've got to be able to, the sun doesn't shine at night. You got to have storage to last you another 8 hours, 10 hours. That has to be charged to that solar farm. Here's the next big thing coming around the corner. Wind energy. They don't last 3 years without needing serious maintenance upgrades. Those maintenance dollars are going away out of the big, beautiful bill. They're being phased out. We have an $89 billion liability that's out there for land reclamation for wind farms. It is already starting to show up. The balsa that is made out of the wind farms comes out of the rainforest. There is a huge black market for balsa trees, and it's destroying the rain. All these green energy folks, they are not green. Those balsa wood are now stuffed with fiberglass, and they're in landfills. I drive by my house in Abilene all the time, and you see all of these windmills. And now the 8 years is the magic number for wind turbines. They say they're supposed to last 30 years. There is not one wind farm in the United States that has got full land reclamation paid for. They don't do it. They don't do it because it would drive their cost out and investors wouldn't even step into it. Warren Buffett said it best in 2014. The only reason to invest in a wind farm is for the tax subsidies. Well, all these subsidies and incentives are going away. Now you're going to have a level playing field with solar and wind. You need to dump storage on it. Let's use them. I'm all in. I don't want to say let's not use renewable wind and solar. But let's have an open discussion about where that balsa wood's coming from, where that fiberglass is. There's absolutely zero recycling going on these things, 95% of the solar panels last maybe a year to 2 years. They get put into landfills and shipped out and sunk in the ocean. 95% of our solar panels are thrown out. Nobody's talking about this. So let's have a levelized cost of energy about all of this. Let's levelize this for consumers, and we won't have this data center fear of what's going on. Yeah, data centers are needed. We got to win the AI race. And if you're not using AI, you'd better start learning how, or you'll be unemployed. I mean, it's pretty simple, but do it behind the meter. Make the AI data centers pay for their own resources. Yay. If they can't do it, hey, I'm a capitalist on that point. Does that make sense on the whole grid? California is really ruined California. They are now energy dependent. Energy security starts at home, but energy dominance comes through your exports. The United States is exporting oil. There's 163 tankers lined up to get oil from the United States. That's not normal. That's because the Strait of Hormuz is closed. So we are also now, I just wrote an article today on energynewsbeat.com, and you take a look at that article, it is our great oil field service folks are starting to be in demand around the world. I just interviewed the CEO, Jason Arcanoa of, oh, he's a oil field service company, ARC Energy. And he is working in Venezuela. He's working all around the world. He's got 3,000 pieces of equipment that he rents out. And he says the number one thing people are talking about is American technology in all around the world, Venezuela, South America, in the Middle East. Fracking is going around the world. We are energy dominant, displayed by Texas. We are energy dependent, displayed by California. The dichotomy is going to hurt President Trump.
What I took away from your
That was a
wind
rant. I am
energy,
so
yeah, it's
sorry for
okay.
ranting on you.
What I took away from the wind part. It was a great example of how politics has ruined our economy. Because if, listen, when I grew up, people that worked in government, they worked in government because they could not really make it out in the free market. And so they had to go work for the, seriously, those were a lot of the people that worked in government, they could not make it out in the free market. And so they went and got a government job because it was safe and steady, and didn't really matter if you did your job fully or not. And that's where all the government jokes would come from. It's not right unless it's done twice, government style, and that sort of thing. Your wind energy is a great example because that is an industry 100% driven and created and subsidized by the government. And you can throw ethanol in there and you can throw solar in there, fine. You can do that too. But let's just focus on wind for a second here, because that was created. And the carbon industry is 100% created by the government too. So the government does create industries, and then they fund those industries. And then they get into the picking and choosing of companies. That's where the politics comes in. Now, if you or I were going to do that, Stu, in the free market, we would have investors asking us questions before we could even start one day of work. They go out and do an entire industry without a reclamation program intact. That would never fly in the free market. Never fly. So not only did they destroy an industry, several industries, by letting the wind energy get as far as it is. Now they have to create a reclamation industry that they're going to fund, of course, just like the orphan oil and gas industry. So the oil and gas industry, they learned from their mistakes 100 years ago. So why did nobody creating the wind energy business plan consult with the oil and gas industry or the coal industry about how reclamation works? Because that's
Or a
another
solar farm.
example of how bad people in government are at business. they can't even understand in the the wind energy thing didn't even come till the late 90s. Really, right. It didn't come till the late 90s. So you didn't ask anybody in oil and gas about how reclamation works? I mean, I'm sure that's a good, isn't that a great example of how people in politics and people in government should not be meddling in the free market? Take a look at what the wind industry did to the free market. It's created this whole mess that we're in today, because you know it's directly responsible for closing 30 refineries in California. So anyway, sorry, now I'm ranting. So I'll hand the baton back to you as we kind of close up here. We've been going on for about an hour, so we should probably wrap up the podcast here today. But I did want to ask you about just oil prices. You know, you're a money man, if you will. And, you know, we got summer coming up. Of course, I've got my Route 66 trip, so I've got to plan gas prices and a number of different things. Gas price could double by the time I start out in, you know, June 1st.
I hate to say it, but yes. And the reason is because the refineries, it is a global market. Everybody does not understand. The global oil market is going through the biggest structural change the world has ever seen. Right now, the oil is about $96 or whatever it is. I got to go look at the chart real quick. If oil, the paper money, is $93.67 WTI right now, delivery to was either Indonesia or another one of a refined tanker was $220 a barrel. The paper difference between paper and delivery, that fiscal difference is absolutely wildly different. Normally they'll feed back in together. So when people are saying, wait a minute, the delivery price, it's the same thing going on with diesel gasoline.
No, where is this happening?
This is all over the world. Australia.
This is happening in gold and silver too, where
dang,
the physical gold and silver price and the paper price are getting so far apart.
You got it
doesn't make, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no. So this is a gigantic problem. Here's where the United States is a little bit insulated. The United States is insulated. In fact, the people back east are insulated because they're getting the refined goods from the Colonial Pipeline out of Texas, and they're coming up that way through the refinery. So pipelines make a difference to keeping gas prices down. No pipelines, no new gas, no lower prices. Long term, we need to really look at compressed natural gas or other natural gas and turn our long haul truckers into natural gas as opposed to using oil. That makes a lot more sense, cleaner for the environment, use natural gas. We got more natural gas than anybody else in the world. You could use that and still not redesign the entire diesel engine terribly. You could still put it would be an easier
there.
Conversion.
Yeah. Yeah, the technology's there to make it efficient. Absolutely. Yep.
And it would be a better engine, and you could get them all filled in. That would be a better strategic move for the United States. But the difference between paper and physical on diesel, gasoline, crude oil is such a huge topic right now that's not really being focused on mainstream yet. It's about to hit in 2 weeks, and it's about to hit California right by like a 2x4 from an ex-wife, right in the back of the head. It's going to hit them so hard their eyeballs are going to pop out of the front.
Subtle
of their head.
Subtle as a slap in the face.
Yeah, exactly. I'm watching. Yes, we're going to see gasoline prices go up. Yes, will we get there? Yeah, it'll be $4, $5 a gallon. Yes, that's going to be that. California, if they don't take care of some things in the next few weeks, $15 gasoline and diesel. I'm not kidding. We're one refinery away from having a fire And boom, you're going to be at $15 until they can get that thing repaired. You're at two refineries down, and it wouldn't surprise me if Gavin Newsom lobbed something in there. I'm not accusing him of saying that. I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me if somebody did that is of that nature to try to drive the prices up. So look at what fossil fuels are. We need to absolutely, it wouldn't surprise me if that happened.
Me either. That's the first thing I thought of, actually, was how a lot of times these
There's only
ma
two refineries.
manufactured incidents happen.
Yeah, there's only two refineries left in Australia. One of them caught fire yesterday.
Really?
Yes. Oops. So this is a big deal. Was it sudden timing? They're getting t Australia's getting set up for energy lockdown. The COVID did not work, and it was a failure, according to trying to get us to obey. Energy lockdowns are the next thing that is coming around the world.
Boy, I tell you, different times we're living in. Different times,
Buckle up.
yeah, buckle up is right. You're not again. And I think it's everything you're talking about is spot on because, as I mentioned before, the newspaper industry, when they went through their paradigm shift, it did more than people realize. Because when Too Big to Fail came out, a lot of the banks got the money, but then they gave it to a lot of the tech companies, which created the social media platforms, which gave away the newspaper's content for free. So they went into a little bit of an identity crisis, and all of a sudden that's why they went bankrupt and this and that. When you have a paradigm shift like that, and you go through all these changes, what happened with the newspapers, a lot of the original content creators went away. Because for a while there, 90% of the internet was a reaction, and it probably is still this, 90% of the internet is a reaction to 10% of the original creators. Does that
Right.
make sense?
It
And
does.
so when the news, because the newspapers used to really be the original creators, radio was primarily a reaction to the newspaper.
Right.
Television is primarily a reaction to the newspaper. And by newspaper, I do mean Associated Press. Now,
Right.
Associated Press has branched out into, more multimedia. But realistically, when you take a look at those types of things, and what that did, and this is what concerns me, because when you want to go to war, Stu, the first thing you do is you take out their communication. That's the first thing that every good general does. Is you
And the
take out the
grid.
communication tower. And all of a sudden now, if we can't agree on what a man or a woman is as a society anymore, we're pretty confused. And we're not talking to each other in a way that is bettering human lives. And energy is supposed to better human lives. And people can get mad at the oil and gas industry all they want, but it saved the whale industry, it saved the beaver industry, it saved the otter industry, because without the oil and gas industry, we wouldn't have any whales left on this planet. We
Oil
wouldn't have
and
any otters or
oil.
beavers either. Go ahead.
That's right. Oil saved the whales the first time. I
Yeah.
think that oil is actually going to save the whales the second time.
I do too, because wind is going to kill them.
That's right. So
Yeah.
I think that you're going to see that oil has the potential and natural gas has the opportunity to save the whales again.
Save the eagles and the bats too, because wind is about taking out all the golden eagles in the Southwest. And the bats, for some reason, they think it's a mating call, and they just fly right into the stupid thing. And by the way, bats do have an economic value because they're a pollinator for the ag industry. So they have a huge economic impact. Bats do. Birds, not so much because there's so many of them, but bats they pay attention to. Sorry, I'm just.
I did not know bats were so important and they eat so many insects.
Yeah, like 10,000 a day. They're really into it. Yeah, and like I said, bats actually do have a have an economic like line item when it comes to looking at the big picture of agriculture and that sort of thing. But
Well, I want to give you a shout out and just absolutely say I appreciate you and everything that you've got going on, and I consider it an honor to spend time with you today. And I want to make sure I get to share this out and put it on our channels and make sure everybody knows about how to find you and find your new Substack.
well,
This
I
is cool.
appreciate that. And again, the pleasure's been all mine because you're just fantastic. You do a great job, and you've created just a huge mass audience and following. And I'm honored myself to be, that you've had the time to even come on here and spend some time and do all this. And yeah, I look forward to any and all future conversations, man. And just keep it up, keep it up. Anything that you got going on, feel free to let us know. Use any of our content for anything you want to use. Any Route 66 or Crude Life stuff, go nuts. You're gonna see more classic cars popping up on the Crude Life now. Oh yeah,
Nice.
you're gonna see a lot. And you know, I don't know why. Here's because at the end of the day, you might get an oil and gas worker to turn on the oil and gas industry, okay? But you're
Right.
not going to get a classic car owner ever to turn on the oil and gas industry
Nope.
because they will want to drive that classic Mustang till the
In fact, my next car is not going to be the Ford 350 that I was going to go buy. In fact, I'm going to go buy probably a 60 Power Wagon and rebuild it
Good
because
for
I
you.
want no electronics and I do not want anybody listening to me, and I want to be able to not have the 350 drive itself back to the dealer. Or that's the only reason I won't have a Tesla is because they can be hacked and they can drive away.
And the there is a movement for pre-9/11 videos, or I'm sorry, pre-9/11 vehicles, because that's kind of what they say is the ones that before they can start controlling them. I go back to 99 because in 99 the FCC did pass a law that basically if you got electronics, you got to have some kind of microphone in there. And so I actually am going pre-99 with my vehicle
That's
purchasing.
exactly, you and I are on the same path. I'm buying an old and I've got my shop, I've got rebuilt. I'm going to be rebuilding it and building old.
Well, I appreciate this and look forward to any and all future conversations, my good man.
Thank you. I talk to you soon.